I love to come in the house of God and get revved up a little bit, don't y'all? Huh? You know, I love what Joy said a minute ago. She said she went expecting, she got something. You know, a lot of times that's why we don't get anything out of a church service. You go not expecting anything. Most of the time when you do that, you're not disappointed. But, you know, it's good to come in the house of God and feel His presence and His power, His leadership. And then through that, we give Him praise, honor, and glory in all things that happen. Got a few verses of Scripture I want to share with you. I think this has been in accordance with the Word of God this morning, and that's what you want your church to always be. I want to look at 2 Chronicles, if you'll turn there, 2 Chronicles chapter 36, and just a few verses of Scripture there. And let's set give you an idea of what's going on in Old Testament. You know, this is before Jesus had to come on earth. This is before He died on the cross of Calvary. But there was a promise of deliverance, you know, for the people. And there was a promise. And we go through Old Testament and we see this. But in 2 Chronicles, we run into a situation where God reminds us that, you know, I'm thankful this morning that for anything that could happen in my life or happen to me, whether it's physical or spiritual, I've got a cure for it through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm telling you now, Christ Jesus can take care of it. And in this day and time, when they were back, 2 Chronicles chapter 36 and verse 11, let me get into this. It said, Zedekiah was 120 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God, and not humbled himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. And he also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who made him swear by God. But he stiffened his neck and hardened his heart from turning unto the Lord God of Israel. So we see the situation. You know, he's 21 years old. He comes in and he's put in a place of power, of leadership, and begins to reign. And nothing but wrong. I'm talking about he led the people in the wrong direction. He was going in the wrong direction himself. It said that he rejected and he humbled himself not before the prophet Jeremiah, who was speaking the word of God. In other words, it brought nothing to him. And then it also talks about he also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who made him swear before God an oath. And so we see the situation coming up. And I thought about this, you know, all through last night, how a lot of the situations we're in this day and time, because of leadership, people are misled, misguided, and in the wrong direction. But I'm thankful that we have God and His Word, the Holy Spirit, which we felt here this morning, that can lead and direct us in the right ways. And so we go down to verse 14. Moreover, all the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen, and polluted the house of the Lord, which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. You know, even though they had turned away, even though they were blaspheming, even though they were tearing down from what God had built, God had compassion on them. And I thought how blessed we are this morning that we serve a God that loves us. I mean, if there's any doubt in your mind whatsoever, you need to erase it and put it out. You need to know that God loves us. He don't do things just to punish us or give us a hard time or a hardship in this life. But God does things because He loves us. So when we read this, He had compassion. It said He sent His messengers. And I'm thinking about a God that would send His time and send His message, carrying His word down to these people. But yet they, in verse 16, it said, but they mocked the messengers of God and despised His words and misused His prophet, until the wrath of the Lord rose against His people till there was no remedy. I want you to notice what just took place. They refused the messengers that God sent, the holy word of God that He sent down to bring them out from this spot. And it comes right down to the point. He said they did this until the wrath of the Lord rose against His people till there was no remedy. Now I want you to think about a situation where there's no remedy. There's no cure. There's no way out of it. Now what a sad place we all would be in this morning without a remedy. You know, if our sins had no remedy. But I'm so thankful, and we'll get into it in a minute, about Christ Jesus, the Son of God, is the remedy for our sins and our hardships and troubles and things going on in this earth. But during this day, these people rejected the messengers, they rejected the word, they rejected God, and he said so there was no remedy. And they were going to have to pay the price for their sin. Pay the price for their sin. If you read in verse 17, it starts talking about he brought an army down and they began to kill them. In other words, their sins was bringing death. And when you read through this, it said that they had no compassion upon the young man or the maiden or the old man or him that stooped for age. He gave them all unto his hand. And so all of them were turned over to the enemy. It didn't matter, young, old, male, female, stooped down. It didn't make any difference. God was not a respecter of person. It didn't make any difference how old they were, what they were doing, or anything. They all began to have to pay the price of death for their sin against God. And I'm thinking what a sad thing we'd be in today if we had to pay the debt of sin for what we've done. I'm telling you, it'd be terrible, wouldn't it? I'm glad that I've got a Savior, Christ Jesus, that died on the cross of Calvary and paid the sins of the world. These young men, these young women were dying for their sins. It said that they had went to the point that there was no remedy. I'm thankful to God that He sent a remedy through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for the sins of the world, for our problem. I want to look over just a little bit farther in Isaiah. If you'll turn there with me. Isaiah chapter 38. Isaiah chapter 38. We're going to talk about Hezekiah a little bit. Isaiah chapter 38 verse 1. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came unto him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, set thy house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. What if we came in and gave everybody that sentence here today? What if God came and said, set your house in order, you're on the way out. You're not going to live. I thought about what Hezekiah's mind must have been like. He thought, okay, you know, it's done. This is the word of God that he sent down by this prophet and told him. He said, put your house in order, you're going to die and not live. And I thought what a difference it would make in the way we worship, the way we prayed, and the way we serve God if we knew our days were limited. Well, I've always preached here that everybody's got an expiration date. We just don't know when it is. Amen. Everybody here is stamped. You've got an expiration date and it's coming. This goes a little bit farther. In verse 2, when Hezekiah got this word, then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord. And said, Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Verse 4, Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, Go and say to Hezekiah, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. Now you think about it. Praise God that God had said you're going to die. But yet when Hezekiah prayed, when he cried, when he went to the Lord God, God gave him a reprieve. I'm telling you. And so he found a cure. He found a something to carry him over when God said, I'm going to add 15 years to your days. How we pray and how serious we are makes a difference with God. You know, he didn't life this thing off. Hezekiah didn't say, oh, well, you know. He didn't life it off. He said, I want to see things change. I want things to be different. And I thought about the way he prayed. He said he turned his face to the wall. That's to turn away from things of the world, I believe. That's to also, I guess, so you can give all your attention to God. And as he turned his face to the wall and began to pray and cry, God heard it and changed his situation. You want a situation changed in your life? Get serious in your prayer life. Get serious with God. That we don't just kindly pray, we really pray. I'm talking about where we come down and take a hold of the altar and call out to God. When I read that a minute ago about you know, they said there was going to be, said they didn't, had no hope and no remedy. I want to tell you, God planned a remedy for us. And I want to read about the remedy. These folks had turned away from God. They had rejected the messengers God sent down. They wouldn't hear the word. They'd done everything until God came to the point. He let the enemy come in, overrun them and destroy them and kill them and take everything they had. But I want you to know that today we've got a power and a hope against the enemy. And the enemy is sin in our life. It's death. You know, that's what it brings on. I want to go over the New Testament just for a few minutes in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And I want to give you the hope. I want to give you the remedy for problems and troubles and things going on in your life. This is a remedy for all things, whether they're spiritual or physical or whatever it is. So when we go over to Romans chapter 10, he starts talking about Jesus. Now that's where it's all at. You know, that's what it's all about. It's Jesus or it's nothing. It's got to be about Jesus, the Son of God. That's God's plan for us, for salvation. Now this salvation comes with a lot of things added to it. I believe God's brought me through a lot of situations that I just wouldn't have made without His help. There's no way. In Romans chapter 10, verse 8, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Now, that's just very plain and very simple, but that's according to the Word of God. That's what we're looking for. You know, that's what we're expecting people to do. And when I think about this, verse 10 gives a little explanation. It said, "For the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Praise God. And so we have a remedy for the sin. We have a defense against the enemy that would overcome us and overtake us all the days of our life. I'm telling you. And God made the way through His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, we think about Hezekiah adding 15 years to his life. Have you ever thought about adding eternity to your life? Now, 15 years kind of mellows out, don't it? It kind of fades away when you think about eternity added to your life. Yeah, this flesh is going to lay down one day, but this spirit will always live with the Lord. But it will be reunited and live forever. I'm very plain about that. You don't like me, you better get used to me because I ain't going away. You get to heaven, I'll be there or I'll be on the way. And we need to think about God's plan and His remedy for sin in this world. You know, everybody's trying to do this, trying to do that. Very plainly it said, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Now that's the gospel. You know, we hunt gospel everywhere, but this is the gospel of God about His Son, Jesus Christ, gives the explanation. Verse 11, it said, "For Scripture said, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." We're looking to see people saved. Changes lives. Changes situations. That's the remedy for sin. Back in the Old Testament, God said they've come to a point there's no remedy. They're going to have to give their life. They're going to be overrun by the enemy. They're going to be killed. They're going to be destroyed. But thank God for grace of God. And He said, not the same today. Chris, y'all come with some, if you would. I lost Chris. Oh, yeah, there he is. Come up and let's have a verse of song. We'll close this service out.